This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, NHL, college hoops, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN. Get 100% deposit match. Finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. All right, guys, it is time to talk Valero Texas Open. But first, we got to talk about Steven Yeager. And I know some of you guys were on him with me. It's just a few hours go by and we're right into next week. I wanted to get on this week early because got a lot of Augusta prep to get to the following week, because there's a very small chance I'm heading out there Tuesday afternoon. Next Tuesday afternoon. So wanted to just get my prep done while we can. We are here. Valero Texas Open, Steven Yeager gets the job done, 58-1, a staple in DFS show, a great outright hit for me and a few other of my friends who were on him. What a week. Just toe-to-toe with Scottie Scheffler for two straight days. Did not look like he was ever weary or ever, not that I didn't think he was going to mess up, but whenever he did hit a washy shot, he was just like head down, very Yeager-esque. He looks the same whether he's shooting 68 or 62 or 78. Just absolutely unflapped, head down, easy golf. And it worked out exactly how we thought it would work out to. Harder conditions, drive the ball out there, you can bomb and gouge, tough greens, and just, oh man, I'm just still so happy Yeager won. After all those close calls, like not that Mitchell was a close call last week, Xander the week before that, goes back to Thigala at Sony, at Century, Keegan at Sony, Valamaki in Mexico, Burns at Amex, just so many close calls, and glad to break through a second time this season with Yeager 58-1. But let's talk about Valero, because that is what we are here to do, talk about the Valero Texas Open. Sneaky difficult test, and I kind of shit on the Texas swing early in the week on Twitter. I was like, the Texas swing is the most bland golf we get all season long. While that may be true to the eye, like watching the Texas swing on TV is objectively boring, like if you're just looking at the golf itself, tree lined, just green, nothing flashy. But this past week, today, was great. It was a great finish and a great tournament, and it was drama. 15, 16, 17 under most, I think that might be the most underrated three-hole stretches on the PGA Tour. And onto Valero, like this is an event we're not going to get a minus 25 winner. We're going to get like a 12 to 15 winner, which should be a great tournament, and it's where the best golf is played when those are the scores. Obviously, I prefer it to be minus 4 every week, but that'll never happen. But nonetheless, TPC San Antonio, the Oaks course, is a course where you're really going to want to hone in on strokes gained iron play, strokes gained motivation. Motivation is key this week. How many of these guys are here to win the golf tournament? How many of these guys are here to work out kinks before the Masters? And that's something that I'm going to try to do my best to steer you the right way, give my honest thoughts, stand on hills, die on hills. That's the fun in this. So honestly, from a golf course point of view, what I want to look for in a golfer, I don't need you to hit it a mile, and you can hit it a mile. I'm kind of like not looking at driving too much this week, because we've seen guys bomb and gouge this course. We've seen plotters hit fairways and focus on an iron play. The key stats this week, I think, are iron play. You really got to hit your irons well, because these greens are small, very tough to hit. And around the green play, you're going to have to scramble, you're going to have to save par. So iron play, around the green play, and obviously you can always look at putting, but just really heavy iron players this week. But more than anything, strokes gain motivation. So let's get on to this upper range, or what I believe the upper range is going to be. I think we're going to get Rory, Ludwig, Homa, Spieth, and maybe Fitzpatrick or Hideki, that upper range. So I'm going to, obviously the price is not out, but I'm going to give my honest thoughts on where I think the pricing will be. Obviously, Rory is most likely 99% going to be the highest priced golfer. Now, Rory does love to win before the week of a major, and that would just be very on brand for him. But I don't know if I, how much I want to, am I rushing to play a Rory at what, 11-1? I'm not really rushing to play that Rory when I think there's a lot more motivation down the board. Hideki, Jordan Spieth, and Colin Morikawa are three golfers that I want to talk about. So Hideki Matsuyama, believe it or not, I think I have a tweet scheduled to release tomorrow. Hideki Matsuyama is coming off of the best ball striking week of his career. Everyone knows Hideki Matsuyama. Even your neighbor who barely knows anything about golf knows who Hideki Matsuyama is. Generational talent, been doing this for years. The best ball striking week of his career at TPC Sawgrass in Route 2. I believe it was a T6 finish. Now, that's crazy. Like, you're getting a golfer who's clearly in good form, won a few weeks ago at RIV, who just hit the, who has never had the ball, never statistically hit the ball better than he did last week or last start. Now, we know Hideki, anytime he tees it up, he's there to win. So, we've seen Hideki in the mix before a big event. I like him. I like him at this. I believe he's going to be double digits. I do like him. Now, so that's the Hideki case. I really do like him. I think he's motivated. I think he's ready to win. Jordan Spieth. Anytime Jordan Spieth tees it up also, he's motivated. He's ready to win. He and Grelo just grind. They want to win every start. And this is the last time. This isn't the last time Jordan won. Jordan won Harbortown between this, but he won this 2021, I believe it was. That was his first win after the long stretch of him not winning. Now, just like, which I'll get to Bo Hostel later in the podcast. When you're in Texas, you play Jordan. When you're in Texas, you play Bo Hostler. So that's when we get down to the 7K range, it's Bo Hostler. That's all you need to know. But yeah, Jordan has been showing great things with the driver. The irons have been very wonky, which is honestly not what I'm looking for at this golf course. I just said to start the show off, you need to hit your irons close. You need to hit your irons solid. And Jordan honestly has not been doing that with his irons. He's been, last few weeks, he's just not hitting his irons well. So hopefully we see good signs with the irons, because I would like to run out Jordan at Augusta, but I think I'm going to have to pass. I like Hideki better, even though the motivation I think is going to be there for Jordan. I do like Hideki better. Now, Colin Morikawa, interesting tidbit. He's coming off of two straight events where he's lost strokes on approach, which is obviously a horrendous sign for Colin Morikawa. He is a generational iron player. You need Colin Morikawa to be gaining strokes on approach for him to be doing well. But nugget right here. If you look at Colin Morikawa's last 6 months, he has only played crazy hard events. He's only played the best events, which may be a reason why he hasn't really been in contention, hasn't really won. But the last two lesser field events he's played, a win at the Zozo, a loss in a playoff at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Those 2 weeks plus this are the three lower events he's played in a long time. How on brand would it be for a Colin Morikawa to be just very wonky, just playing, plodding along, not playing horrible, but not playing good at all, to just pick off a win when everyone's motivated for next week? And of course that you need elite iron play. Why not go to a Colin Morikawa who I don't think will be highly owned. I don't think will be one of the highest three price golfers. I love Colin Morikawa this week. Obviously got to touch on the other guys up here. Ludwig, Max Homa will be around this range. Max Homa, eye test. He's literally broken. He needs to play this week. He has no choice but to play this week to work out whatever he needs to work out before Augusta. Max Homa is broken in my eyes. And Brian Harman, I never thought a chalk Brian Harman could have let us down a week ago at the Valspar after he just played six solid rounds of golf. Brian Harman was playing legit bad in 2024. He played six good rounds from API to players, and then he was just giga chalk and he let us down at the Valspar. Never could have saw that coming. Obviously a golfer that I'm going to talk about that he's in his own category, Corey Connors. Very interesting to see what the ownership and narrative around Corey Connors will be this week, because he's obviously won this event twice. He's got great course history. He makes a ton of sense on a golf course like this. Praise the Lord, Corey Connors gained strokes on approach last start at the Players. Corey Connors is a guy that Adam and I always say, does he practice putting? Because he just loses infinite strokes putting every single week. But he did gain strokes putting at the Players, and he had a solid week there. So he's in good form. Just, we know he's hitting his irons and drivers so well. He's got great course history. I do believe he will. I mean, obviously, I think he's going to be chalky. He makes so much sense. But this is objectively the strongest field this event has seen over the last 5-10 years. So take that with a grain of salt. Take Corey Connors' history with a grain of salt. Take everyone's course history with a grain of salt, except for a guy like Ryan Palmer in the 6K range. Should I just skip to Ryan Palmer? I'm not going to go deep into the 6K range because I have a 6K show coming Wednesday. But Ryan Palmer, he's played this event 13 times. He's made 9 cuts and he's got 4 top 10s. Ryan Palmer at this point of his career can only contend on 6 golf courses, and this is one of them. I just skipped all the way down to Ryan Palmer. But so I like Ryan Palmer at whatever 6K price, 7-1 maybe. Okay, we'll touch on Russell Henley. I believe he'll be mid 9K range. Russ Henley is sneakily not hitting the ball well at all. His 2 good starts in Florida were all putter related, which is like good to see with Russell Henley because he's generally a bad putter, but we can't just rely on that. And that showed. He played horrendous at the Players, and that showed because he was just putting the ball well, not hitting his irons well. So we will move on to lesser range, and we got a question. What do I think about Bez? He kind of flows on to the next range of golfers I'm going to talk about. I always like Bez in DFS. I always like Bez in positional play. As long as he's not chalky. Whenever he's chalky, it doesn't pan out, and I don't believe he's going to be chalky this week. He played all right at the Valspar. Hopefully some chalk rubs off because he was chalky, but you just know what you're going to get out of Bez. You're going to get fairway, green, two-putt, consistency, and that will definitely play on a golf course like this. So yeah, no real, like, I'm not saying Bez is going to finish top 10, but I do think he's an extremely safe play to make the cut, and he surely gives you that top 10 upside. So I do think Bez is a great DFS play. Now, Ben Ahn is a golfer in this range that I think is going to get a ton of love. Ben Ahn is honestly coming off of the worst ball striking performance since the 2021 Memorial, which is a long time coming for Ben Ahn, who's been playing really good, but he's finished T7 twice at this course. So what is that going to mean for his ownership? I think people are going to see, oh, he's finished T7 twice this week. He's a popular guy on Twitter. He's a popular guy nearly every single week. I think he's going to be chalky in that 8K range. So if he's chalky, I don't think you're going to want to play Ben Ahn, because like I said with Corey Connors, Ben Ahn's got great course history, but this is the strongest field this event's ever seen. Another golfer who's going to be very chalky is Billy Horschel. Backdoor to top. What did he end up finishing this week? I think top 5, top 10, whatever it was, it backdoored, but we all talk about Billy Horschel in Florida, but Billy Horschel fucks in Texas. So he played well yet again, sneakily showing some of the best form he has in the last, 2 years? And he's got 3 top 4 finishes on this golf course. So Billy Horschel makes a ton of sense, and he's playing good golf. I do think he's going to be chalky, and if that's the case, I don't want to play an 18% owned Billy Horschel. That just cannot work out well. Okay, before we get on to the rest of the 8K range and below, I am going to tell you about the SGPN Network promo. Of course, you're listening to SGPN right now. In honor of March Madness, this week's feature shows are on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer, Sean Stacking the Money Green, where the guys have picked every pick against the spread since 2012, and of course, the College Basketball Experience. Colby Dant, Ryan McIntyre, Noah B continue their unmatched coverage. It's a go over to the College Basketball Experience on YouTube. They know what the hell they're doing. Subscribe to them. Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience All right, and Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. It's a new way to bet directly against your friends, talk about sport, bet against them on sports, politics, pop culture, tons of fun. There, it offers lower VIG, create your own bets. There's group chats, leaderboards, head-to-head history. Cut is a great way to bet against your friends without having to go through a sports book. VIG free, create your own bets, super fun. Download Cut today, App Store, KUTT.com. That's KUTT, and use deposit code SGPN for a 10% bonus. And then finally, Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports and the fastest growing. Underdog is truthfully all over the place right now. I'm tweeting out Underdog legs probably once or twice a week. Pick higher or lower on your favorite players for a chance to win big. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single slip. Pick between 2 and 5 players to build an entry. You can also make rivals picks, which pits 2 players against each other. For example, which player will have more yards, which player will have more birdies, or something like that. Sign up today with promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them on the App Store. And don't forget to register with my promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpbgambling.org. Okay, rest of this pseudo 8K range, upper 7K range is going to be around there. Not 100% sure. Alex Noren, let's talk about Alex Noren, because I believe Alex Noren is the worst bet in the history of sports. Outright, I'm talking about outright, but a great DFS play, a great positional bet, because this guy is a generational non-mixer and just plays solid golf and just finds his way into contention. It's total ownership. 7.5% play him if he's lower. Higher? No. Talk about Harris English. Harris English, I see in this range, steadily going along well, just playing great golf. Probably prefer him on a longer golf course, more driver heavy, but just so consistent. Now, Harris English defeated Father Time and made the cut at Sawgrass, a golf course that has eaten him alive over the course of his career. But he made the cut, played well. Tom Kim, what are we going to get out of Tom Kim? He withdrew and never made his start at the Valspar, and now he's back in Texas. Some sort of injury that Tom Kim's dealing with. Honestly, the course makes a ton of sense for Tom Kim, but I don't know what we're going to do with him and what we're going to get. Like, how does he feel? He's never played this course before, but I think it makes a ton of sense. If he goes super unowned, I don't think he would be playing if he didn't feel good. So I'm down for Tom Kim. Keith Mitchell, chalk Keith Mitchell, missed the cut. No guts. I don't think he will be as nearly as chalky this week, but he sneakily gained 2 strokes ball striking in Houston, although he missed the cut. Now, like, he just put the ball poorly. Keith is hitting the ball so well. Obviously, his biggest talent is the driver, and this isn't the best course for that, but he could definitely bomb and gouge it here. I really do like the flop lag spot for Keith. And a guy that I like the flop lag for also is Doug Gim. Doug Gim coming off of a gross miscut in Houston, but this course makes a ton of sense here. You play Doug Gim on TPC tracks. It's just simply that simple. And he's going to be 0% owned. I really do like his upside to finish around top 10, and he's going to be in the low 7K range. No one's going to play him. I love Doug Gim. Nikolai Højgaard, a guy I expect to be around this range. A golfer that has had, his last start was the worst strokes gained performance of his young PGA Tour career, but he's too talented to be in the 7K range, truthfully, if that is the case. And if that's the case, play him, because he has upside, as high as upside as anyone, and I do believe that he is a great play. Maverick McNealy. I do not know why Maverick McNealy withdrew from Houston. Maverick McNealy has had his second and third best iron performances of his entire career at Memorial Park, which makes a ton of sense. I love that course for him. I was going to play him last week if he didn't withdraw. His fourth best was here. Valero, Texas Open. TPC San Antonio Oaks Course. So he's coming to a, he's playing, he's been playing good golf. He's not been hitting his irons well, but he's coming to a course where he's had the fourth best iron week of his career. Does something suit his eye? I mean, does something suit his eye in Texas? Because two, his, out of his four best approach weeks, three of them are in Texas. There's guys that just play good in Texas. We all know that. Like Bo Hostler, who I'm going to speak on next. You simply play Bo in Texas. He had a good iron week in Houston, and he's got a T4 here in his career. Hopefully those can match up and we can get a nice week on Bo Hostler. Another guy in the 7K range that I like is Adam Svensson. Sneakily figuring it out. The last few weeks he's been in the mix, like Thursday and Friday. He's been on that leaderboard and then he just dipped down and lost it. But Svensson is finding the approach game, and that's Svensson's driving force. You need Adam Svensson to be gaining strokes on approach, and that's what he's doing. So I like Svensson. He tends to show it, and he's showing it now. So get in while you can. Another guy who's showing it might be in the 6K range, but you got to get him while you can. Seamus Power. He always foreshadows when he's going to play good golf, and that's now three straight weeks where Seamus Power has played good golf. So that's a golfer I like in the probably upper 6K range. A guy that I probably missed on, Austin Eckroat, probably mid 7K range, maybe the low 8K range. He doesn't have the best course history here, but he is an Oklahoma guy who's clearly a new golfer this time around. He's a PGA Tour winner, and he has found something with his irons. He damn sure has. He's a very accurate driver of the golf ball. Will play out of the fairway, and if he's hitting his irons well, like he showed the last few weeks, he should be in business on a golf course that makes a ton of sense for him. Other guys that could be in the 6K range, but I'll do the massive 6K deep dive on Wednesday. Ryo Hisatsune, a guy that is deadly accurate off the tee, a great middle iron, a great wedge player, and a great scrambler. If we can get a 200-1, he's in the betting card, but he's a great play in the 6K range. And then finally, Alexander Bjork. Missed the cut by infinity in Houston, but that course made no sense for him. Here, not overly long. Honestly, if you're listening to this right now, you probably drive the ball further than Alexander Bjork. A child off the tee, a legitimate child off the tee, but he will play out of the fairway, and his best game is his irons. That is going to treat him well here. So I like Alexander Bjork at probably like 6,300. Let's talk about Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar has immaculate course history here, but his form is really, really bad. And so I tweeted out that Matt Kuchar had immaculate course history at the Valspar, but his form was horrendous. He made the cut at the Valspar. The same exact situation is here. Immaculate course history, played this event a ton of times, great results, but the form is horrible. Father Time versus Matt Kuchar. Just drop a comment. Who's going to win that battle? That about wraps it up. Quick 25 minutes on the event. That's the DFS preview. Ton more content this week. You guys know where to find me. Steven Jaeger, Godspeed. Thank you, my German brethren. And yep, I hope you guys enjoyed this early preview, and I will talk to you guys later in the week. Peace out.